I've been here all weekend, and I was middling for Bert Kreischer, who was the headliner the last couple nights. And we went to Smithfield Farms. You guys know Smithfield Farms? So it's not even close, right? It's like an hour away.
Yeah.
But we went to this like wine mixer thing during the day. We started drinking at like 10 o'clock in the morning. But Bert, he just invited me at the last minute. So he was like, he called the people that invited him. And we're like, hey, can I get an extra ticket for my friend? They're like, sure, no problem. And he's like, hey, just a heads up, my friend is black. And the guy texted him back, hey, that's not a problem around here anymore. And I thought it was funny when he told me about it, right? But then we get there, and I could hear people whispering, like, I thought he was bringing a black guy. Maybe the black guy couldn't make it.
Let's see, how's that? I think that's better. All right, welcome back, guys. Welcome back to Totally Unrelated. I'm your host, Adrian Cosby. It's been a fantastic week. How have you been? I hope well. Thank you for tuning in. Spirits are high. I'm in Columbus. I'll be home for today, a little bit of today. I'm going back to Dayton tonight to do the super dope comedy show with Dan Seabree at Wiley's Comedy Club. And then tomorrow night at Wiley's Comedy Club, we are doing the official roast of Doug Morgan and Steve Mack, the baby shower roast, dual roast baby shower edition. It's going to be epic. Just some of the jokes that I've heard from some of the comics already have me pretty excited. Roast jokes are like watching a UFC fight when they're done right. Just knockouts. So I'll be doing that. Admission is $5 if you'd like to attend. That's Wednesday, April 13th, 7:30 p.m. at Wiley's Comedy Joint. You can make reservations online at their website, wileyscomedy.com, or you can call 937-224-JOKE, 937-224-JOKE, and make a reservation and pay over the phone, however you want to do. But come out. It's going to be a good time. I'll be the roast master. Jay Snyder will be closing it out. We have a couple special guests coming in. And other than that, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you've seen the posters already, and you know who's going to be there. And there's new blood, old blood. It should be a blood fest. It should be like 300, but with less Spartans. I'm not even sure what that means. Wow, what a fantastic week, guys. I just got back yesterday at about 5 o'clock, and it was easily a nine-hour drive from Virginia Beach to Virginia Beach and back. 18 hours round trip. But, you know, I was there from Thursday. I didn't leave till Monday morning, which is a good enough time to break up the drive. And it was fantastic. It was the stuff that dreams are made of. If you haven't listened to the episode, The Best Week Ever, go back and listen to that episode and then come back and start listening to this episode. Since you're probably not going to do that, I'll do a brief recap. A couple weeks ago, I got to do an MC spot for Bert Kreischer at the Columbus Funny Bone. After that MC spot, I got a whole bunch of dates, the first of which being this feature week with Bert Kreischer in Virginia Beach. And so I just went and did that. And boy, was it fun. I feel like my confidence has been on, I wouldn't say an all-time high, but probably on a more deserving high, maybe a more well-qualified, or at least a more seemingly qualified high since that happened. And it all seemed to translate very well this weekend in Virginia Beach. Loved hanging out with Bert. It's awesome because I'm a fan of his, not only on some level a peer, I'm also a fan. I do this podcast in no short form because he inspired me to do a podcast through his podcast. And so to have these opportunities bust through and happen because of Bert in some small fraction of a way or large fraction of a way is just really awesome. It would be like if you were a baseball player and you got discovered by Sammy Sosa, and then you got to play in the majors, or at least in the minors, you know, because Sammy Sosa thought you got to play in a game that he was in or something. I don't know what the fucking analogy is, people. What I'm saying is that I'm trying not to sound like a fucking fanboy, but I am. I'm a big fan of Bert Kreischer. I hope you go listen to his podcast, The Bertcast, over at bertbertbert.com. And it was a real lesson in connecting with fans. You know, the shows weren't sold out, but I thought for sure that they would be. They were all full, but they weren't sold out. But what, you know, he really does bring his fans. The people that were there were, you know, half there because of press probably and half because they were fans. And the people that want to hang out with them, and they brought him gifts. And we went to Smithfield Farms. He got me a ticket to go with him on Saturday to Smithfield Farms, which, if you don't know, Smithfield Farms makes, you know, bacon and ham. It's a pretty big deal in Virginia. They make Virginia hams, which I guess have to be certified because of the soil content. You know, it's a certified Virginia ham. Anyway, we went to a wine mixer at Smithfield Farms and mixed. I didn't really mix any wine. I drank one kind of wine. I drank the cashmere all night. All day. We got there at like 11, started drinking wine, and didn't stop drinking wine until 2:30. I think I had, you know, I was really kind of pacing myself, but I had a really power wine buzz going. I'll post some pictures of that. Maybe I'll make that the cover of this episode. It was fun. I probably had less than a half a bottle of wine, but that early in the day really did kind of mess with me. And got to go back and take a real power nap, and then went and did the show that night and had a great performance. For some reason, working your way out of a hangover on stage under those bright lights, I was completely revived by the time I got off stage. But when I got on stage, it was literally like holding the wall to stand up. And, you know, you power through. But it was awesome to be able to do that with Bert. We talked with the guy that took us. Todd was a rescue helicopter jumper, like, what do you call it? I don't even know. Rescue water jumper. I don't know what he used to jump out of helicopters for the Coast Guard and save people on boats and stuff, and an engineer on helicopters, like an instrument engineer, you know, the guy that works the panels. And that was just a fascinating story. That was like about an hour to and from Virginia Beach to Smithfield Farms. And so just getting to know him. And we went to his fiance's or girlfriend. I didn't really get the story on that. It was like her birthday. I think her 42nd birthday. And so we hung out with them. And that was just a blast to be that welcomed in. And, you know, we used some of that in our act later that night. And Bert left on early Saturday morning, or Sunday morning, I mean, and I got to headline the show on Sunday night at Virginia Beach, Funny Bone. And it's not the first time I've ever technically headlined a show, and it's not the first time I've ever even technically headlined a show at a Funny Bone. I have closed out shows, which is not the same thing as headlining. And I would argue that maybe this doesn't really count as headlining either, because there were, well, I guess there was only two comics before me and a guest set. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just trying to minimize the label. But I did 55 minutes and I sold a shit ton of t-shirts and it felt really good. And I was more proud of myself for even having done it and not really. I mean, I don't know if it was obvious that I was nervous beforehand, but it was the most nervous I've ever been for a show. It was as full on Sunday night as any of the other nights, and as good an audience, which is rare. And I think that's what I was worried about. In fact, Jay told me that when he was there, he thought the Sunday show was the best show of the week. And I don't know that, I wouldn't say that for me, but it was definitely a highlight of the week. Friday shows were really good, and Saturday shows were really good. Friday first show, though, I think was magic. And so, yeah, I was just, you know, happy for getting it done. And I was nervous for sure before it started, but once I got into it, I knew I was going to be okay. I mean, that's the thing about stand-up, I think, for me, is no matter how nervous or not nervous I am, once I get started, it's very familiar. Even from the very first time I ever performed, I think the very first time I ever performed at Wiley's, I was super nervous. But once I got on stage, it was like, well, we're here now, so we're just going to do it no matter what. And it went way better than I thought my first time ever on stage, and then this time. And that opportunity also presented itself because Bert doesn't do the Sunday show. So in a way, that was just really awesome. I got some shows coming up. We got the Super Dope show tonight. I've got the Roast Super Dope show tonight, Tuesday. Wiley's, I think it starts at 8 or 9. I'm not sure. But get at me if you want tickets. Then we've got the Roast tomorrow, 7:30, Wiley's Comedy Club. Make your reservations, 224-JOKE, 937-224-JOKE. And that's going to be a fun show. Then this week I'm going with Jay. We're doing a show in Huntsville, Alabama at an army base or some sort of base. So I assume that's a private show. Then the week after that, I'll be doing what the Traveler's Inn. I was going to look that up. It's in Michigan or somewhere. Then back to the clubs on May 28th or April 28th through May 1st at Liberty with Eliza Schlesinger. May 11th, I'll be at the Inn of the Mountain Gods in New Mexico. It's a casino. May 12th at the Santa Ana Star Casino. And then May 20th, I'll be at Rock on the Range here in Columbus, which I had no idea how big a deal that was. But once the poster came out, I got a whole bunch of messages in my inbox saying, congratulations, you're really on your way. And it's funny what people consider really on your way. There's always different milestones. I mean, like, about a month into my comedy career, and I only call it a career because I'm going back to the very beginning, about a month into having started performing comedy, I booked a commercial that paid nothing but aired all over the place. And I would have thought that would have meant I was really on my way. But no, I still had quite a ways to go. And I don't know if this Rock on the Range thing is my cup of tea, but I am excited to do it because it's sold out and apparently a really big deal. And I get a backstage pass for the entire show, even though I'm only going to be there for one night. So we'll see how that goes. I'm excited for it. May 20th, Rock on the Range. I hope you already got your ticket. If not, I'll try to sneak you in the back. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to risk getting kicked out. I already worked on my jokes for this set. This is going to be a defining moment in my rock and roll career because I've been working on a musical album. I don't want to reveal it to you guys just yet. But let's just say it's been a passion piece of mine that I've been working on since before comedy. Okay. Today's show is a hybrid show. We've got a story time with Jay Snyder. And we're going to play a couple clips from the shows this weekend. And then we're going to get out of here. This show is brought to you by the roast of Doug Morgan and Steve Mack. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, April 13th, 7:30 p.m., Wiley's Comedy Joint. We will be roasting them. Admission is $5. Comics get in free. All proceeds will go to the future back payments of both Doug and Steve's child support. So, with that out of the way, let's start the show.
You got any
shows? Yeah, me and Vince doing Janesville. Not the Yoda Rooms, it's someone else.
Really?
Yeah.
Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, that was weird.
That is weird.
They got that big ass fucking
room. The Armory, it's pretty nice.
The Armory, yeah. Yeah, that's a nice fucking place. When I was there.
I did it with Vince like 3 years ago. Yeah. And I say 3 years ago, it might have been 6 weeks ago, but
yeah, no, because I did it after you guys did it.
Yeah,
I think I did it 2 years ago.
It was the first time I ever really pulled up considerably short. I think I got to like 19 minutes.
That's 25.
I got to 23, and Vince was like, "That was only like 19 minutes," and I was like, I held up my recorder. I was like, "I got 23." He's like, "Oh, excuse me." Excuse me.
He's like, yeah, but you started it when we walked in the door.
I think what freaked me out is because the MC dropped the ball. It was his first time doing comedy, and he really just kind of, not dropped the ball, just kind of freaked, and he pulled up short. So they were like, can you do like 35 or 40? And I was thinking to myself, like, no.
For 100?
Yeah, and then I was also thinking, like, Vince will pick up any slack, even if I did do 35.
Right.
And, but I got like, 15 minutes in, man, and I just was lost. I don't know what it was, but Vince was like, you need to leave that stuff alone, you know, because I was like, that was right around the time that I first started messing with the concentrates, and he was really kind of skeptical of all of that, and he was like, you need to back up off of that. So the next night, we were in Cuckoo's Comedy Nest,
right.
And I fucking ripped the roof off of it, and he's like, see, I told you, and he was right, in a way.
Can't argue with the master. He could be fucking right.
I went up, I pointed at the sign. I was like, I've never seen a comedy club with a Jewish mascot before. Which just instantly went over. And I was like, it didn't even register to me that was completely and totally politically incorrect for me to say at right. that point. But it's also amazing how much better a show goes when you have an MC.
Oh, absolutely.
I had an MC that show.
Yeah, that Armory, I did it. It was pretty tough. I've actually...
It's just a really high ceiling and a big stage.
Big fucking room. Yeah, it's more of like a conference center.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking nice fucking room. But the, yeah, dude, I've never really crushed it in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I've had some decent sets. The one it would have been a crushing if I hadn't fucked it up with the black dude that came in late.
Yeah.
And that would have been fucking unbelievable, but...
Yeah, my last set of Cuckoos was insanity, and they had, like, the whole upper deck set, which I'd never seen before, but they had a party up there, like a bachelorette party.
And they're close, too, so...
Yeah, it's got that... it's got, like, three levels. It's got the floor, then it's got that side lounge, and then the upper deck up top, which
right.
was... It was really nice to be there, because it was only a one-nighter and have it be full.
Because the guys that used to own it, I think you said that it's a different guy
Dave's,
now. But...
Yeah, Dave still owns it. Dave Brula is like, I think he's on his own now. And the last time I was there before that, he was talking about letting it go because he couldn't get rid of this business partner that he had. But apparently he got rid of that guy and now he's out
the
on
comic?
His own. No, it was the other guy. It was another guy who just had money. He just needed a money partner. And I guess he was like just fucking it up left and right.
Right.
I mean, comedy's not like any other type of restaurant or bar type of a situation. But I think they're mostly just a bar, and they do like a couple open mic type things during the week.
Right.
And then comedy on the weekend. I guess they're going back to two nights in the fall.
Yeah, because I think it was only a one-nighter when I was there.
I've been there twice when it was a two-nighter and twice when it was a one-nighter.
So I did that fucking Egg Harbor where it's fucking like old as fuck crowd.
Yes. Oh, dude, I just put that one on my taxes yesterday, and I was like, ugh. The biggest relief was like the last two times I did, well, the first time I did it, I had no idea. But the second time I did it, I took the gig knowing I shouldn't take the gig. Cause it's like, this just not this, their cup of tea.
Right.
And,
Yeah, that Egg Harbor room is murder.
Yeah, and you gotta be fucking clean. Or they say to be clean, then I got there and the manager was like, nah, just, you know, don't dirty it up. For the most part, that's how everybody is. Don't just be saying fuck out of nervousness or whatever. So I was like, no, I'm just going to keep it clean like the itinerary says. And then, like, during my set, so there's, like, a bachelorette party, and they fucking threw a dildo up on stage.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck?
Improv with this!
And then, like, so it's, like, supposed to be clean, right? They throw a fucking dildo, and I'm like, I
got... At Egg Harbor?
Yeah. And they were the only young...
Let me guess, it was made out of porcelain. It shattered when it hit the stage.
Yeah, like it was a people. Hand crank vibrator. like starting a Model T.
Are you making bread or getting off?
And I fucking, they threw it and I caught it. And then, you know, there's old people, old as fuck up front. And I was like, you know, and this is like 10 minutes into my set. And I'm like, supposed to be clean, not even say, you know, no sexual references or whatever. And they threw it and I caught it. And I was like, oh my God, there's these old people. I was like, oh my God, do you see that? And then I fucking like panic or whatever and I just fucking threw it back. So there's fucking rubber dicks flying through the air. And but it was good. And then Mike Green was the headliner. So we did Egg Harbor. And then then Janesville.
Yeah.
And then Cuckoo's Nest.
That sounds right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, yeah. And then... So after I fucking shit the bed with that fucking black audience member that came through, which anybody that would have been at least willing to fucking play along at all
would have been fine.
It would have been fine, but he was fucking absolutely not. And when he wasn't playing along, it turned the fucking audience off.
It's funny how that works.
And then so he, you know, he's like the only black guy there too, so it seemed like I was fucking attacking him and. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if he would have just played along, it would have fucking, you know, I took the fucking, I rolled the dice and it fucking got snake eyes.
Yeah.
And so,
but that's the same headliner.
Same headliner. Yeah. Take that motherfucker. Yeah.
Dig yourself out of this hole.
And so afterwards I was going to walk up to the guy or whatever and be like, hey, dude, fucking sorry, he was just fucking pissed, and fucking, I could hear him talking shit, we were like 8 feet apart, and I hear him like, yeah, fuck that fucking West Virginia motherfucker, I ain't worried about that motherfucker, he's just like, there's no, and then he called in like, the posse, so like, I'm outside smoking a cigarette, and then there's a group of fucking guys, like, most of them weren't even at the fucking show. Yeah, this is about to get fucking pretty bad here.
Yeah.
And then some random woman just came up and was like, yeah, you were doing really good until you talked to that guy. You shouldn't do that
one
anymore.
Feller,
yeah, no, bitch, I get it, yeah. So it's like, so then I'm just like, you know, I go in and tell the owners everything, thanks and bye and all that stuff, and, I'm like ready to go, and I rode with Mike over there from that fucking little resort or whatever.
Yeah.
And we get in there, I go, how'd you like that? He goes, whoo! Oh man, talking about my set, yeah, right? Yeah. He's like, oh man, whoa. Goddamn liberals. Oh dude, it was fucking horrible. Oh. So then I just fucking deal with that shit on my mind till the next gig. Like,
yeah.
Had me scared as fuck to even talk to anybody. Because when I was like, black guy come in late or whatever. With two fucking fat white girls. And I was like, yeah, thanks for doing your part to stop the perpetuation of black stereotypes. He's like, and he said something about having a gun. And I was like, all right, fixing to get shot. He goes, oh, I know, you're surprised, a black guy with a gun. And I go, no, but a black guy, I go, no, that doesn't surprise me. The fact that you're wearing an ascot concerns the fuck out of me. And fucking still nothing. Like, it was...
How did they not laugh at that shit?
Oh, because it...
I would have been dying, dude. I would have got us both shot.
I was dying a fucking slow fucking death.
You'd have been like, I shot me 1.5 white boys today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was fucking horrible, but... What time are you hitting the road tomorrow?
Ugh, fucking crazy early, dude. Crazy early. I'm probably...
What's that one, 9?
Yeah, from Columbus it's 9. It's 8 from here. It's actually...
It's further?
I think because I gotta go south. It might be 9
from
here.
No, so it's gonna take you up through, like... Which I guess you could go two ways, but you can go over to fucking... What is that runs up the fucking east side of,
I have no clue.
What is that?
Clue.
It's fucking 70...
I have no clue.
77. So you can go through, like, Newark... Down through that way or whatever, and just outside of Zanesville, jump on 77, take that all the way down through Charleston and all that.
Dude, it's been so long since I've been to the East Coast. Like, I think the last time I went out that way.
64, I believe, is what it runs down through there.
Was, like, last year when I did Laughing Gas. That was the furthest east I've been in a long time. I did Pennsylvania last year, too. I haven't done anything east of Ohio this year.
Dude, fucking Vince sent me a video from... Laughing Gas. Oh, I hope my phone's fucked. But, it's even more broken than it was.
Oh, God.
Let me find this fucking video. It's from Laughing Gas.
Your phone, like, when you turn it on, it's like, kill
me. Oh, this button's broke. This button's broke. Which, I've got the other one, and I just fucking jammed something in, and it popped up, so I'm getting a fucking new SIM card for it.
Nice.
Maybe might do that today. But,
just
the
other day, if I have wings like this
dove,
for then
while I
fly away and be at rest.
Listen.
It did fly.
It looks fully alive in his hand, though. It looks like his hand
is
moving.
He's like squeezing it, and then, like, that's the short video, but.
Good God.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking.
He threw it like Bernie Kosar.
Oh, fucking shit, dude.
I've been waiting for... I had that Bernie Kosar reference in my pocket for years, dude. I've been waiting to use it for something. I didn't know it would be a preacher throwing a dove, but I'll take it.
Oh, dude, it's not... The attachment was removed, it said. Oh, anyway, it's like... It was on, like, YouTube, and of course the fucking... They're probably like, yeah, dude, take it off. Anyway, it's just a dude standing there in fucking tidy whities. Black dude, blacker and fucking Bernie Mac. And fucking... I can't even hear, understand what he's saying. And then fucking right at the end, he just drops him and fucking just dick hanging out there. Oh,
could you see everything?
It was
on YouTube?
Yeah, it was on YouTube. Yeah, I believe it was a YouTube video.
That would definitely...
But it showed me, I was like... And then I texted Vince back. I was like, that motherfucker just set black people back 40 years. Like, not by pulling his dick out, but by wearing tidy whities. What the fuck, dude? Dude, it's like, oh. Like, the audience doesn't laugh. They fucking...
Well, yeah. It's amazing how unfunny penises are when you're on stage.
Oh, yeah. Just... Oh, and it...
I bet he was sitting at home like, man, I got some shit for these motherfuckers tonight.
Oh, dude. I'm going to pull my dick out.
I'm going to go up there with no pants on. I saw a guy's first time, like, I don't know if he really did wet his pants or if he had a prop to wet his pants.
Right.
But, like, wet his pants on stage. And, like, also, like, took off his part of his outfit. So he was wearing, like, a bra, like a sports bra. And no shirt. But he also had, like, really bad, like, plaque psoriasis all over his body. So not only was it, like, off-putting that he didn't have a good body and he had his shirt off, but, like, also, like, this rash looking thing, like, nobody wanted to go on stage after him. So I was like, remember, like, taking a picture of it or whatever and thinking to myself, like, cautionary tale, you know what I mean? If this is what your idea of comedy is, like, find a different career.
Dude, my first time up, I was going to fucking take the stage with a cup of water and then act like I tripped and fell and dump it on me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to be fucking hilarious. Dude, I'm so fucking glad I didn't do that.
I was going to propose my first time to my wife. And
yeah?
I was like, yeah, and I was like, well, just because it was like, I needed something to have me be there. You know what I mean? Like, I needed a reason to try comedy. And I thought, well, if I incorporate doing stand-up with proposing, then it's like, now I've got a reason to actually fulfill on this destiny. Because it's like, I'm not going to fuck around and not propose, you know what right. I mean? But it was like one of these two things. I was like, I don't know how to propose. I want it to be special. I want it to be unique or whatever. Hindsight being 2020, I am so glad I didn't do that. I mean, my proposal was the most lackluster proposal of all time.
No, it's not worse than mine. We'll tell these stories. What was yours?
Okay, so I kind of got to backtrack. For mine, I fake proposed by accident. Like, I didn't know I was proposing. So, like, my buddy and I were texting back and forth. But right before that, I don't know what it was, but my girlfriend at the time had sent me a text message saying something good, some good news or whatever. And I think it was about insurance or something like that. Like, we could be on the same insurance plan, even though we weren't married yet. Something like that. I don't know. We hadn't even really discussed marriage.
He's like, will you marry me?
And so I text her, and I'm trying to be funny, and I'm like texting the lyrics. I looked up the lyrics to the song, Let's Get Married, which it starts off like, first of all, I know these so-called players wouldn't tell you this. You know, and I'm just like, I'm copying and pasting the lines because it's like
she's never heard it before, so she just thinks, oh, this motherfucker.
I get halfway through, and I think if I got to the chorus, she would have got that it was a song. And, but I stop because my buddy starts texting me and I'm texting with him back and forth. And then we get home and she's just like, hey, and I'm like,
get it out.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like 2 days later, she was like, so did you have something you wanted to say to me? And I was like, what are you talking about? You've been acting weird for 2 days. And she's like, I thought when you were texting me the other day and I asked Amber, as my friend at work, if this sounds like a proposal. And she was like, yeah, it sounds. I was like, that's a song. I was like, that was just a song. And she's like, oh. So it was like this big letdown.
Very underwhelming.
Very underwhelming. And so then I'd already had the ring, but I didn't have, like, I couldn't just go like, oh, well, let's do that here, you know?
Right.
So I waited a couple weeks, and we met on MySpace, which was weird enough as it is, just completely random. And so I went into my spare bedroom, and I got the ring out, and I took a picture of it, and I posted it to her MySpace wall. And I said, what do you think? You know, or something like that. And so I went back out in the living room and sat down next to her watching TV or whatever. And I was like, did you get my MySpace message? She was like, yeah, what are you sending me a message on MySpace for? I was like, you didn't look at it? She's like, I got an email. I haven't looked at it yet. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm just chilling or whatever. Hour goes by. I'm like, are you going to check the fucking MySpace list? She's like, yeah, fine, whatever.
Goes, yeah, this dick ain't going to suck itself.
And so she's opening it up and she's like blowing up the picture and she's like, what is this? Where did you take this picture? What is this? And like, so I got it like in my hand over here, and as soon as she looks up, she looks over and she sees it and she's like, oh my God, what is this? And I was like, what do you think it is?
You finished the song.
Yeah.
I was like, exactly.
Let's get married. And yeah, so it's just like sitting on the couch. Pretty lackluster, but, you know, we met on MySpace, so I kind of proposed on MySpace.
Came full circle.
Yeah. And then that was like, there wasn't like getting down on one knee or anything like that.
The way I proposed,
How long had you been together when you proposed?
9 or 10 years.
Okay.
And,
So she had no reason to expect this. had you been talking about it?
Less than that. No, huh? No, because we like, yeah, there's no, we don't have to get married. It's fucking, you know, whatever. Which I still agree with, whatever. But, so mine was on a Monday. Monday morning, I get ready for work or whatever. I wake her up, and I'm like, hey, babe, will you marry me or whatever? And she's like fucking rubbing fucking sleep and shit out of her eyes. Like, what? I'm like, yeah, will you? So I got the ring or whatever. And I just got the ring the day before, and I was just so fucking excited that I could, you know, whatever. Like, yeah. A little fucking kid trying to, you know. She's like, yeah. I was like, all right, I love you. I'll be back at 5. Fucking went to work.
Now, I don't want to be at work all day wondering or not if you're going to say yes or no, so I had to wake you up.
So your story is like a long story. Mine, in comparison, is like a haiku.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, babe. Yeah. Married?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, go take your morning piss, and then I got something I want to fucking say to you. Will you marry me? Kiss. All right, gotta go. Love you.
Holler. Holler at a boss player. Yeah, that, then how much longer after you proposed until you got married?
Fuck, I don't know, a couple years.
Ours was like about a year and a half, I think. So.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing I'm looking at after doing my taxes yesterday. I literally only went through and did,
like places that I knew were gonna file a W-2 on me or whatever, like where somebody was gonna file their taxes on it or whatever, and it was like a third of what I made the year before by only doing it that way. And
that's good.
Yeah, I mean, fine with it, but the mileage was still about
mileage,
the same.
You're crushing it in mileage.
Dude, I
can't imagine, like, keeping gas receipts. I can't imagine it being better than, because you know what, the fucking 50 cents a mile, 52 cents a mile,
something? Yeah, something like that. And so, like, now what I do, I have an app, and it asks me as soon as I start driving, is this a business drive? And I just swipe to the right if it's not. And then it starts logging it or whatever. And then I got an app for my receipts. So that takes care of all my mileage right there. And then I got an app for receipts where if I order food or whatever, after I pay, they give me the receipt and I take a picture of it and it puts everything in the right spot. So I can throw the receipt away after that.
Yeah, that's something. What app is that?
One is called Mile IQ and the other one is called Expensify. Let me double check that.
Yeah, I need to do that because I go through... Like, I need to do it today.
Yep, Expensify. Mile IQ and Expensify. And, I mean, I wish they did it all at the same time.
Taxes, yeah. I might have to get an extension.
Well, hell, buddy. You ain't responsibility at all, are you?
Yeah, Miranda kind of takes care of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was for me. It was like, can you get this stuff in? Can you get this stuff in? I was like, I'm working on it. And I finally got that shit done. And really all I was doing was going from the house to the gig, house to the gig, house to the gig. And then sometimes I'd realize it'd be on a run. So I'd do house to the gig to the next gig, back to the house. And so I'd put those, color code those on an Excel spreadsheet. And then I put the address of every place that I went to so that, because last year what happened was I got hit for an extra $10,000 out of Toledo. I think in 14 I made like $1,100 at that club and they put it down as $11,000. And so I, out of all that, I only owed an extra $1,000 in taxes, but that still was like, that's way too much, you know? Yeah. And I got a return last year on my shit because of all the miles I drove. So this year, I'm hoping that what's funny about this year is that I looked at the calendar and I don't know if I backed out of a date in Toledo or not, but I had myself down for like 1,400 out of there last year and they only had me down for like 850.
Nice.
So I logged everything that I put down just in case they come back on it, but they might be like, nah. Which is weird because it's like some of those gigs I couldn't remember how much I got paid, and the year before I could remember every gig how much I got paid.
Yeah, you're on the road a lot though, man.
I was looking at them like, I don't even know where this is. Like, I don't remember even playing this gig.
Dude, I gotta start. Like, that app would be good because otherwise I have to write it on a calendar. If not, because my dates delete themselves after so long or whatever. So then I'm going through, like, old emails and, it's fucking hell.
Once you get down to, like, a certain rhythm, you can just keep resubmitting. Like, now that we're in, like, this level, like, as long as we're in this level, we can just keep submitting basically the same tax info for the clubs that we've been to because nothing's going to really change. That's what Patrick Keane told me. I don't want to say his name out of church, but he said basically he takes the same info from, like, 8 years ago down to H&R Block, and they work their magic, and he's like, I usually end up owing about $500. Then I was like, and he, this was like this 5 years.
I don't know. I understand how you can owe as a con, like the, just the.
You're not keeping enough at records if you owe, but at the same time, the more money you make, the more likely you are to owe. And I think, like, if I don't start saving some money, I could be, other than the mileage that I drive, I could be in danger of owing next year if I don't keep better records. And really, the one thing that I need to keep track of is my food expenses. Because, man, like this last run, that's the only thing I had to pay for, but I still get to deduct all the miles. You know, just because somebody else is buying the gas doesn't mean I don't get the deduction.
Yeah.
And it was so much driving, dude. I mean, like, I think I looked at it and I was like, I think I get back like about $800 just from the last road trip? Or like it lessens my tax burden by like $800? That's how many miles.
Well, that's it. You just beat that fucking positive balance down to shit.
That's the goal, man. That's the fucking goal.
And, who's hosting for you guys?
That's the number one question, right? How was your MC when you were there?
Tom Dustin? It was great. Hard to follow.
Yeah, I bet.
The clip you're about to listen to is from a video called The Greatest Comedian Ever. It's Bert Kreischer, and there is a couple in the audience, and he brings them up on stage for a little bit of fun, doing shots. They're going to play a game, and then it turns into something very, very special. Tell me if you can tell, based on today's theme, what just happened. If you need further video evidence, you can go to my Facebook page, and it's on my wall, or you can go to Bert Kreischer's YouTube page and look at the video called The Greatest Comedian Ever. It's on YouTube. You can probably just search it there. But it's a great video. It's really great, and I videoed it, and take a lot of pride in my videography skills. I did, you know, kind of go to school for that. In any case, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
The food's hot, young man. Come on.
Does he eat all the food?
Come up on stage. Yes, he does eat all the food. Well, we might as well bring your chick, too. Come up, young lady. We'll do a shot together. All right. Let's take her to the front stage. Hashtag dad bod this. This is real fucking bodies, women. These fucking bodies aren't going anywhere. These bodies come with life insurance and a mortgage. Yeah, is it just me, but do you feel like we look alike? Two bears, one cave. So technically, you're attracted to this too. Here we go. One more shot. Young lady, would you like one? Okay. And then we'll play a game. All right, let's play a game. Come here, young lady, come here. Here's what we're going to do, okay? Let's see. How long have you guys been together? 4 years. Are you going to throw up? Okay, good. 4 years, okay? 4 years. And you've been physical with each other? Okay, here's what we're going to do. Come here, stand over here. I'm going to play a game. Okay, I'm going to blindfold you, and you got to feel our chests. And you have to guess whose chest you're feeling. Your boyfriend's or a complete stranger. We're going to start with just touching our nipples, because we have very similar nipples. And then feeling all over our chest. Okay. Okay, hang on, come here. Stay right. Nope, turn sideways. Turn sideways. You can't see it all, right?
Nope.
You can't see it all. Okay, you ready? Hold on 1 second. Okay, you ready? Put your hands out. And let's go.
You look mistaken, like someone else's dream. Says it's alright, we'll be dancing tonight. There's an angel in your pocket, she seems kinda lost, like a southern brown wind. She whispers it's okay, we'll dance the night away. But when I see the rain coming, it seems the sweetest song, and I know there's no reason to cry tonight. But I feel so lonely inside, I don't know what to do. But I'll be when the sun comes shining. There's a whisper